We hope and pray that our gathering in this temple atmosphere may be blessed in and through the radiant light of the sevenfold flame. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks, peace, and love of the young Gnostic Brotherhood be with all who are standing in the great chain of the work of service. Everything you have done in love and faithful to the Gnosis, the spiritual school, and humanity that is yearning for salvation, will turn into a blessing for you and many others. We gird ourselves to new effort, to new labor, in the power of Him who is Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Brothers and sisters, we know that the symbolic language often speaks of construction, and in particular of temple construction. First of all, we know the construction of the human temple that should prepare the human system for truly spiritual construction. This construction requires, firstly, the demolition of the temple, because in its current state of being, the human temple is no longer suitable to offer an abode to high spiritual values. We also know the construction of the spiritual house of the spiritual school. It is the building that we may, in the deepest sense of the word, call the House Sancti Spiritus, because in this house, high spiritual powers are released through the link with the new astral field. This is why we would like to link you at this moment with a testimony of the living Rosy Cross that has resounded for so many years with love and steadfastness, its sole purpose being to be allowed to accomplish some work and to contribute to the salvation of sunken humanity. It is very important that humanity is aware of its suffering and its captivity. This is why, throughout the ages, the calling and inciting voice that shows the way has resounded. And this is why it has, throughout the ages, been attempted time and again to kindle the light in a few human hearts, so that many small flames might be combined into one great fire. In this way, people have, for almost 100 years, worked on the building of the spiritual school. And during all those years, the construction of the temple took place. One of the founders of the spiritual school, Z.W. Lehner, expressed this by the following words. There is a truth in the world of us people that cannot be said. There is a truth in the world of us people that cannot be brought down to our level of understanding. There is a truth in the world of us people that is so high, so divine, that we can only find this truth by ascending to this height. Such a truth is approached by the Rosy Cross. Countless attempts have been made to bring down this truth so that the truth would immediately be within the reach of the masses. However, the masses and their leaders have immediately tried to curb the truth and to make the truth subservient to their own ideas. If only we were underway to find the truth, we would have experienced how awesomely deep and wide as the ocean this truth is. If only we were underway and would wring our hands in despair because the world around us was being destroyed, would we not have found the truth then? If only, even for an indivisible moment, we would look the truth in the face, we would know what happiness means. And from then on, there would only be one yearning, namely the yearning for the realization and fulfillment of this truth. Then we would also know that we are only able to be encouraged to seek this truth, and also that we are unable to bring the truth to people, because just as often as we bring it to people with forceful arguments, it will be betrayed. For who will understand as to the spirit who is still of this nature? This is why Christianity, or any other message from the universal doctrine, is a heroic struggle that first of all puts us on the foundation of this nature, then guides us upwards to individual self-consciousness, and finally makes us see liberation in freedom.
Friends, we would like to continue addressing the topic of this renewal conference on unity, freedom, and love. We saw yesterday that unity is derived from the one spirit that drives all of God's manifestation. In the manifestation of life, the central driving force is the spirit. And in the human being, that same spirit is latent in the spirit spark. And so, the more the candidates on the path of the mysteries are connected to its guiding law force, the closer they come to the unity in life. The manifestation of this unity is found in the diversity of the expression of life. We live in a diverse world by design, and therefore, all that is expected of us is to return to the central idea that steers all of life. We should strive to be connected to the central idea of God's plan that is found in life itself. We seek unity. But unity with what? If we come to understand that the unity we seek is already in us, then we are able to allow a seed of freedom to sprout. A hopeful new era can then begin, understood on a new basis. What is the situation of humanity today with regard to freedom? A quote from an old German poem says, "The freedom that I mean is the one that fills my whole heart." These wise words from an old German poem show us that freedom is always a personal perception, and that it is first of all about the personal freedom of everyone. The selfish person always seeks freedom where her or his interests are, and where his or her profit lies. They cannot do otherwise because they consider themselves first and foremost in everything they do. The freedom that I mean is the one that fills my whole heart. There are three questions that can arise from the words of this poem. What is it that fills our hearts and minds? What is real freedom? And why do we yearn for that freedom? Our life is filled with thoughts, and we create thousands of images and thoughts that agitate and torment our daily lives. Our inner dialogue is endless. We place ourselves in a permanent state of insecurity. And by this, our consciousness is disturbed. Everyone who realizes that their mental, emotional, and active lives are catastrophic will always try to find ways to free themselves so that they can live a different life. All this happens at the level of the three centers of consciousness: the head sanctuary, the heart sanctuary, and the sanctuary of life. In the sanctuary of the head, one may try to activate occult powers, while others may tend toward, for example, activism or idealism or politics. In the sanctuary of the heart, one may seek mystical experiences that are detached from the consciousness, or one may lose oneself in certain strongly felt desires or obsessions. In the sanctuary of life, some seek freedom through, for example, engaging in extreme sports or through gambling or by other means that have to do with risk-taking or by trying to have as much financial freedom as possible. We need not judge these things, but we should ask ourselves two questions. Firstly, does any of these things lead us to real freedom? And secondly, what is real freedom anyway? Real freedom is not found in doing or not doing what you want, nor is it found by practicing a forced detachment from the material world. Freedom is not the consequence of an educational or cultural development. Real freedom is neither found by someone who helps everyone while ignoring their own vital needs. Such help is really necessary, dear friends. It is even very urgent in our suffering world, but it will never be more than a drop in the ocean. This help brings at best some urgently needed relief, but it never brings the actually desired freedom. What is true freedom anyway, and why do we aspire to it? There is in the human being a pre-memory of the true state of freedom. It is a deeply rooted, unconscious knowledge of freedom. From this pre-memory comes the desire for obtaining this freedom, and this is a desire that constantly burns in us, leaving no one at rest. Only we are no longer aware of it. Therefore, we can no longer say what freedom really is, because our inner desire is unable to reach our consciousness. We are no longer able to understand freedom. We do not know how to define freedom, and yet it is there. This last glimmer of memory is the last vestige of a perfect state of being. This original memory comes from what we call the spirit spark, and it proves that there is still a tiny, discrete, but indelible trace of that state in the human being. At the same time, the longing for this freedom holds the promise that the perfect life, so the state that is identical with true freedom, can again be regained. It is the very germ of this life, giving us the possibility, positive certainty, even unconsciously, that there must be another state of being, a state that is in harmony with this freedom, a state that is the freedom itself. Real freedom is born of absolute obedience to the eternal divine laws of creation. These laws are hidden in the inner principle of every human being. They lay hidden in the spirit spark. In it lies God's plan for humanity, just as the plan for the formation and blossoming of a plant is encapsulated in the seed. So, how can we achieve real freedom, dear friends? The universal teaching states that as long as we don't see that our egocentric consciousness is unable to develop beyond its own limits, we will not be able to rise above these limits. These limits are the prison that we have created for ourselves. Dear friends, after countless experiences, the journey to freedom begins. Perhaps after many lifetimes, when we finally recognize that there is a center of our original self hidden underneath our overdeveloped ego. This true center of our being, our potentially divine being, we call the spirit spark. But this journey begins only when the ego, after going through endless disappointing experiences, realizes that the freedom it seeks is, in fact, the freedom of the other one in us. And that this freedom of the true being that lies in us also lies in others. The ego also realizes that the only force capable of defeating it is the power of the other one within us, the true self, the spirit spark. This spark is the basis of the self-revolution, the foundation for the transformation of our deepest identity. This spark is capable of awakening human consciousness and making it aware of itself. It shows all limitations and also the folly in trying to pursue the path of spiritual development based on the ego. This awareness through the spirit spark is the first step towards freedom, because the processes coming from this awareness restores the original freedom of consciousness. So the first step in this journey is achieving self-awareness, because self-awareness is the basis of transformation of human consciousness, step by step. After we change our ways through self-awareness, the spirit spark begins to unfold its radiance, bringing the force of faith. And this is a force that flows powerfully through the blood and through the consciousness, while it lightens up the intelligence in the head sanctuary. On the basis of this self-awareness and enlightenment, a new state of consciousness arises. This new state of consciousness is now able to observe its own inner world. It is able to see itself in action. Its view is very minimal at first, but it is the beginning of a new power, a second degree of freedom called self-knowledge. This freedom allows one to observe with a new intelligence, truly and without judging, without interfering with one's own inner world. And in this freedom, one gains a greater awareness of one's mental life, one's emotional life, and one's life of actions. This freedom is achieved through the effort and the commitment of the human consciousness. But this commitment is quite different from a guarantee of becoming happier, better, more balanced, or more powerful. This second level of freedom is established when we are able to regain self-knowledge, allowing us to observe in a new way, to discern the obstacles on our path of liberation. With our observations, we are given the possibility to consciously take liberating actions. And through this, a third level of freedom can be reached. This third level of freedom is the ability to choose between the voice of the ego or the inner voice, the voice of silence, the voice of our true self, the voice of our spirit spark. This freedom is the path of discernment towards pure intelligence, independent of all authority, due to the union with true faith. This new union leads to a radiance of the heart and to the pure actions coming from this radiance. Through the conscious effort of the consciousness, fewer errors occur. We know, with less speculation, what needs to be torn down so that it can be reconstructed. And we move straight towards the goal, to the true freedom of God's children, which is a radiant new life founded on love. In this third level of freedom, we can finally find the ability to act on the basis of a true consciousness, of our true inner self. And it is this possibility to act that allows us to begin to free ourselves from all automatisms. And from there, we find the freedom to choose which energy or which force power we allow to circulate in us. Through this inner process, through this inner journey, the threefold consciousness can be transformed. And this transformed consciousness can then transform our life. A different state of life will result from this new freedom of consciousness. This state of life arises from our consciousness and our conscious connection to the true self. This new state of life will give us the ability to interact with everyone and the world in a totally different way. Not on the basis of our self-centered consciousness, but on the basis of true self-awareness that has emanated from the true self, whose beginning lies in the spirit spark. This means saying a joyful goodbye to this world while freeing oneself from the shadow of self-centered existence. This is the path of true being, the path of true freedom, not for our ego, which is in fact our jailer, but for the divine inner being who pushes us and guides us on this path towards the high dimension of divinity. Dear friends, it is not a matter of running away from this world or from our responsibilities, but it is about living our daily life with a totally different criteria. The criteria which serves the divine being and love. This brings the kind of freedom that the Rosicrucian envisions. And when we seek to place each step in our lives based on this freedom, then we walk a path that leads to this freedom. May it be so.
Lord of life, may the one fire of life, which we are able to liberate, prove to be sufficiently strong to carry out its sustaining task. May the way of peace be open for all who are seeking. Seven rays of liberation and redemption descend into us. Seven healing forces touch us with the supreme remedy. Seven walls must be torn down in us and raised to the ground. Seven cords which bind us, we shall have to break, so that the Holy Seven Spirit may raise us up into the unwavering light. The Holy Rose possesses seven colors. They blend together into the purest white. The white rose is offered to all of us. He who accepts it goes the seven ways of grace, the way of the rose. Brothers and sisters, for all who have been taken up into the magnetic radiation field of our spiritual school and who want to walk the path of the soul, a glorious future in the holy brotherhood of life will be their share. They walk the path of the three mighty mysteries, namely, the mystery of the soul birth, the mystery of the entrance of the seven spirit, and the mystery of the transfiguration enabled by it. Friends, may you follow your calling as a human being in the light and the power of God's Holy Spirit and accomplish your task as soul human being in the name of God. So be it.